Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. And it is Monday. And that's the 28th of October. And it's 8 days left. That's it. And then it's over. And then we deposit Donald J. Trump on the ash heap of history, where he absolutely belongs with one of his buddies, one of the people who he idolizes, truly. And that's, of course, Joe McCarthy. You know, they had some connections, including Roy Cohn. So that's, you know, saying that Trump idolized McCarthy, that's nothing. That's true. That's a fact. That's a personal connection. Now, we know he also has this tremendous awe for Hitler. He's in awe of what Hitler was able to do, as he was in awe over, you know, Mussolini. Certainly in our present era, Viktor Orban, Vladimir Putin. We don't know what that Vladimir Putin connection is. We really don't. We just don't know in what way Trump is tied to and really under the direction of Vladimir Putin. We're not sure. Now, we have evidence that that exists, which, of course, is in the Mueller report. And I know there are people who say, well, the Mueller report, that's crazy. Or it's a hoax. Or it actually exonerated Trump, which we know it didn't do. But nevertheless, Donald says it did. Bill Barr said it did. So, yeah, there's a lot going on here. But I'll tell you what, Joe, if you could do this for me, I know I came in here late, so I didn't have time to direct you on this. If you go to Scarborough this morning and go to 37 minutes in, and then we'll listen to just a minute or two of Donald's own words. Because at this point, I think it's important to do that. I mean, we have other things that we could address.
It's making me sign back in, Mark.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I need your password in order to do it. I don't have it saved.
Okay, well, hang on. Because, I mean, I'm not going to give it over the air.
Right, right.
But I am going to write it down.
Okay.
And then you can do it. Because I'd like to get that on. But, you know, it's always something, you know? Let's hope this is the right password, but I'm sure it is.
And then the timestamp that you want. I know what show.
There you go.
What's the timestamp?
37. Thank you. Yeah, they tried to mess with us, but we overcame that anyway. Okay, so Donald had his awe-inspiring meeting over the weekend. And we know what he did. He copied the 1939 Madison Square Garden Nazi meeting. Now, I know there are people who say, even on my side, well, we shouldn't go that far. Just because he went to Madison Square Garden, I mean, a lot of people go to Madison Square Garden. It's not indicative of being a Nazi. Well, there's truth to that part. I mean, everybody that goes to Madison Square Garden is certainly not a Nazi. But when you bring together 25,000 screaming neo-Nazis, I guess it's a Nazi gathering. And we heard the things they said, so we know that this is not in some way exaggerated. Obviously, the best example of what we heard was this idiotic joke, which even the people in the presence of Donald and the whatever you want to call these weird people, weird. The joke was about Puerto Rico being an island that was nothing but a floating pile of garbage. And see, here's the thing. You know, and I know, everybody knows that there was absolutely no reason to allow that joke. None. Donald and his people now say, we didn't know. We didn't know about that. But see, it's not so easy to say that when the week before, Donald was calling the United States itself a giant garbage can. So it's not like this was some kind of a weird idea that this comedian came up with. I mean, if the comedian came up with it by himself, if he did, he got it from Trump in the first place. So let's not get carried away thinking that Donald is this wonderfully decent man who would never have said these things about Puerto Rico. No, to the contrary, it's exactly what he would do. And it's exactly what he said about the United States. And so now they said it about Puerto Rico. I guess the reason they're a little worried about Puerto Rico is because they're trying to hold on to that Hispanic, I don't know, they think they have some advantage there. They think the Hispanics love Donald. So let's back up on that for a second. I mean, we got a lot of time here. I'd like to give you a number from a poll this morning, or actually a few numbers, because these numbers bear out exactly what I've been saying all along. And I guess Donald and his people got a little worried when they heard that garbage joke. But they needn't worry about it, because he's already got a problem, that is Donald. For example, look here. This is the ABC poll that came out today. Now, I know there was a Siena New York Times poll that came out on Friday. And that Siena poll, which has always downgraded Kamala. I mean, she's never gotten the high marks on that poll that she's gotten on all the other polls. So a lot of people have said the Times Siena poll is really an outlier. But in 8 days, we're going to know who did what and said what and what's happened. But we can really come up with some things here. This is not impossible. So, for example, the ABC poll says that Biden, back in 2020, had a 33-point advantage among Hispanics. 33. In the poll that just came out, the new one came out this morning. Instead of 33, Kamala's advantage is only 30. Come on. That might be 31, 32. It might be the same exact number. But at any rate, it's 30. Let's call it 29. She's right in there. Okay, suburban women. Joe Biden had a 13-point advantage. Kamala has a 19-point advantage, and that's no surprise. We knew that it was going to be a lot better. Is that a lot better? It's pretty good, I'll tell you that. It's a good number. Well, let's move on. I like this one. Black men. Joe Biden had a 60-point advantage among black men. And you know what's been said in this election so far, that black men are moving toward Donald Trump, and it's in fact, it's almost a gigantic wave of support for Trump from black men. And I have said that if black men were moving toward Donald to any degree, that it would be offset by black women. But as it turns out, looks like even I was wrong. Because black men, Biden won by 60, Harris leads by 74. That's 14 better than 4 years ago among a group that is supposed to be in Donald's pocket, but not really. Black women, 81% advantage last year, 4 years ago. This time, 88. That's 7 better. College graduates. Joe Biden had it by 12. Kamala Harris has it by 22. Now, Trump, among white men with college degrees, actually won last 4 years ago. He was up by 3. He beat Biden by 3. Harris leads by 4. So that's a 7-point swing to Kamala. And then white women with college degrees, and this is absolutely an easy pick. Anybody could have seen this one. And I've been saying this all along. So Biden was up 9. Kamala is up 23. All said and done, Kamala leads by 4 percentage points nationally, 51 to 47. I don't know. Really, I don't know. How could anybody? I mean, this is it now. Now it's like I always say about baseball. This is the end of spring training. When you get to the end of spring training, there's no more mouthing off. Suddenly, you have to have the real world. And in the real world, we're going to find out pretty quickly, but it sure looks like one of two things. Either Kamala just flat out has a great lead, or the numbers are all breaking in her direction at the last minute. One or the other. Whichever it is, Donald won't be president. But I will say this. If you go to the voting websites, they claim that Donald's got it by huge numbers. So they're saying like 65 to 35 in favor of Donald. I mean, that's a 30-point advantage, and that is just not true. But Donald says it is. Donald thinks that he's winning by a landslide. Well, you're going to know in 8 days, I'll tell you that. I mean, we could say a lot of other things, but I guarantee you, in 8 days, we will know what's happened to Donald Trump? We'll know. Now, Donald's going to claim he won, no matter what happens, no matter how big the advantage. If Kamala wins by 10, Donald's going to say he was cheated. He's got lawyers out all over the country. And so do the Democrats. The Democrats have sent out thousands of lawyers all over the United States prepared to deal with this craziness that Donald is going to bring to the country. But for the moment, let's just assume that I'm right and that Kamala wins by a comfortable margin and Donald says he's been cheated and then there's a fight in the courts. Well, there's also a story yesterday where Donald says that he's got a secret with Mike Johnson, but he's not going to tell. And you know, Mike Johnson was the leader in this effort to overturn the election in 2020. People forget that because he's the Speaker of the House now, but he was the leader. So I don't know what the secret is, but you could probably guess that the secret is that Mike Johnson is not going to agree to certify this thing and is going to do everything he can to block certification. And then there'll be a fight. And once that fight gets going, well, then where are we? It depends, certainly, because if somehow it gets thrown into the House of Representatives by the Supreme Court, well, that could be the end. But all that would mean is that Donald would have stolen the election. So that's really the question. Is Donald going to be able to steal the election? And I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that the entire country would just be absolutely up in arms, and I don't mean Second Amendment arms, but I mean the country would be angry. The country would not accept some faked deal that comes out of the House of Representatives where somehow Mike Johnson arranges to get Donald certified as the president. Even if he loses by a lot. Now, you know, I've talked about this before. Rutherford B. Hayes did this in 1876. He lost the Electoral College by 40 votes. He lost the popular vote by a million. And obviously, President Samuel Tilden never existed. Because Congress made a deal with Rutherford B. Hayes, the governor of Ohio, they made a deal. And the deal was, we'll take the troops out of the South, and then you do whatever you want to black people, which went on from 1876 all the way to 1964. It's the Jim Crow era, and it wasn't good. And Rutherford B. Hayes did it through disputing an election that was clearly won by his opponent. So Donald, you know, he doesn't read history. So somebody told him, let's try the Rutherford B. Hayes deal. And so I think that's what's up, and they'll try it. But I don't think it's going to be so easy this time because the Democrats are well aware that this is the play. And they're going to push back and they're going to fight back. And I don't think there's too much doubt about what's going to happen. Because let's assume for a moment. And for example, I've got Michael on here. He says, that was the most despicable thing I've ever seen. He's talking about what happened at Madison Square Gardens, I'm sure. And you know, all I'm going to say to you is that, yeah, it was despicable. You know, there's a whole bunch of people in the country that recognized it. And then there were some people who don't buy it at all. They think it's just coincidental that this thing happened at Madison Square Gardens, and coincidental that the people who were there were saying the worst things imaginable about women, about black people, about Hispanics, honestly, about everybody except for white people. And Donald, of course, he made sure everybody knew, wink, wink, what was up, because he did explain that he could be, instead of being there, he could be on the beach tanning his beautiful, very white skin. I guess that was a message. But at any rate, okay, so we've heard all that. Let's hear this. Let's hear what I've got here on this clip, and let's hope that it's the right place. Okay, give it a shot.
I think it's important to look at the situation, and it's not just, oh my gosh, about the race. It's, oh my gosh, how did we get here? How did we get here? Course. Where a stadium right. of people come to hate. That's a different country, a different time.
You know how you get past that?
How do you get past that?
Work harder, vote.
Yes.
And win. That's how you get past it. I want to really quickly, because Jim C and I say, oh, you want a message that brings people together. I want to quickly read a message that brings people together.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Reagan, father of the modern Republican Party, in his last speech to America. This, I believe, is one of the most important sources of America's greatness. We lead the world because, unique among nations, we draw our people, our strength from every country in every corner of the world. And by doing so continuously, we renew and enrich our nation. While other countries cling to the stale past, here in America, we breathe life into dreams. We create the future, and the world follows us tomorrow. Thanks to each new wave of new arrivals to this land of opportunity, we are a nation forever young, forever bursting with energy and new ideas, and always on the cutting edge, and always leading the world to the next frontier. This quality is vital to our future. If we ever close the door to new Americans, our leadership in the world would soon be lost. And you had Hitler talking about Germans for Germans, and last night you had speakers talking about America for Americans. And here in Ronald Reagan's final speech, he says, we are new, we are forever renewed, forever strong, because we open our doors to the rest of the world. And he says, if we ever closed that door to new Americans, our leadership in the world would soon be lost.
Yes. Thank you, Joe. Okay, so yeah, that's exactly where I wanted to be. And I've played the speech. So today I let Joe Scarborough's words, or his mouth, utter the words that came from Ronald Reagan. That was Ronald Reagan. And you know, it was sort of funny because I mentioned that maybe a week ago on one of the programs where I had a student from my school on the air, and I asked my student the next day, so you heard Ronald Reagan, what'd you think? And my student said, well, there was nothing to think. He sounded like you. So that's the story. I know everybody's afraid to talk about letting people come in from other countries. We're afraid of immigration. We're afraid. We're afraid of people who do nothing wrong, people who commit no crimes, people who simply go to work, earn as much money as they can, often send it back to their families in other countries, people who honestly are trying to be Americans. And to tell you the truth, they need a little help. Because you can't just walk into the country and know all the correct buttons to push. You don't know where to get certain cards. You don't know where to fill out certain forms. You don't know how to get your kids in school. I mean, there are a lot of things that you don't know. So what we do is we should, to have people go down to that border and teach the immigrants how to live successfully in America. Not to do a mass deportation, which, by the way, Donald in the last 2 days has been really pouring it on relative to this idea of mass deportation. He said it would be like nothing that we've ever seen before, that we would take everybody that's here that we don't like and we'll get them out of here. You know, the garbage. The garbage that was given to us, he says, by 181 countries around the world. We have collected their garbage. And he's going to throw them out. Now, in the process, I want you to also understand that Donald has said that he will end birthright citizenship. And the reason for that is because that's another thing he was saying over the weekend, and that is that these people from other countries, they're just a bunch of breeders. A bunch of breeders. That they're having children, they're coming over here, taking advantage of our system, and destroying our lives. And, you know, I do say all the time, in fact, I don't say it, I ask, what has happened in your life that is so horrible? I mean, that's what I want to know from all of these people who are absolutely hysterical about what's going on. Whatever that is, what is going on? There was a small uptick in inflation. You know, Donald says that's the greatest increase in inflation in American history. Well, it just goes to show how dumb he is, because it's nothing even close to being the biggest inflation that we've ever seen. We know that in 1980, we had inflation, and it was huge. Everything was going up. All of the commodity markets were surging. In our case, we had a spike in the commodity markets. And since then, they've gone all the way down. Many of these markets have gone down to levels beneath where they were before the spike occurred. And, you know, Donald was at a meeting with some people from Bloomberg. And get this one. He told the Bloomberg people that they've always been wrong and that he knew what was going on because he knew that this inflation was coming and that they were stupid because they never foresaw any of it. The interesting part is he's got that all wrong because those people that he's talking about, many of them, did foresee inflation. But see, here's the problem. They foresaw this inflation 15 and 20 years ago. And many of these people have talked about it year after year after year. And finally, after 20 years of no inflation, they got a spike. Finally. And it was short-lived, right back down. And here's the deal. They talk about gasoline. I know that I filled up my car yesterday at $2.80 a gallon. 280. And we're all bent out of shape? You mean because it got down to 160 during COVID? Well, I'll tell you this. It's going to get down there again. Unfortunately, you don't want it. You do not want gas at 160 because I can promise you, when it happens, there will be such problems economically. And it won't be Kamala who did it. And it won't even be Donald who did it. We're in a cyclical situation that is heading towards a problem. Now, I've said that for months. And I've said for months, there's no way to know the exact moment. You have to be aware that this is a very unstable situation. Unstable because the markets are going up, the indexes, the S&P 500, the Dow. You know, these things are going up. And that's because Apple and Amazon and Microsoft and Netflix and all these big companies, NVIDIA, they're going up. But the vast majority of stocks in the market are not going up. And they're just sitting there waiting for all of this to turn down. And when it does, it's going to be a problem. Because that's what happens in markets. Now, can people avoid the problem? Absolutely. There are ways to hedge. People could outright sell. And the markets are way up right now. I understand everybody wants to get that last nickel. But you know what? Nobody can get the last nickel. You can't do it. So what you have to do is you have to be knowledgeable about how these things work and adjust accordingly. I understand. It's not the way it works because people are very emotional. And then they'll all want to sell when the market's down at the bottom and everybody's piling out. But you got to avoid that. And you can. And here we are. We're at a perfect point where people could protect themselves. Some will. Many won't. Most won't. Most will fight this thing all the way down and then cash out at the bottom. It's just the way it is. That's psychology. That's markets. They've been doing this as far back as anybody can remember. Want to read about it? Go to timesmachine.nytimes.com. And then you can go read newspapers all the way back to 1851. And you can read all about the different markets and problems. You won't catch the 1838 to 1843 depression because that was before the Times was publishing. But the numbers are there. We can see those numbers. Anyway, I'm just telling you, you're going to have a problem. Gas prices are going to go down, and you're going to wish they were back up because all of these different markets are going to cave in. Not forever, just, you know, for a bit. And getting on the right side of it, well, that's what capitalists like George Soros, that's what they do. They try to time it. No one can ever time it just right, but they certainly get a piece of it, that's for sure. And the public could, but the public's not really aware of all this. They're sort of at the mercy of very emotional market swings. So let's talk about emotional market swings. Let's talk about what happened today. First of all, you know that crazy company of Donald's started off around $80 a share, and it went all the way down to 12. And then there was a rumor that Elon Musk might buy out Donald and give him a bunch of money. And that was responsible for pushing the price from about 12 all the way back up to 23, 25, something like that. And since then, there's sort of been a thing going on, both a combination of Elon Musk's story, you know, how that might play out, and then also an additional issue having to do with the fact that these betting, what do they call them? Betting leagues or whatever they are, they're showing that there's a belief that Donald's got it made, which I mentioned earlier. And so here's the deal. The stock market over the weekend somehow got this idea that Donald's going to win and this thing is all fixed for them. They're going to get their lower tax rates and everything's going to be just fabulous. And so the markets opened way up this morning, way up. 300 and some points in the Dow, held on to a lot of that during the day, gave up some. And on top of that, sort of another thing going on, which is that idiotic company of Donald's has gone straight up bonkers. And it closed today at $47 a share, which is up from 12 just a short period of time ago. That's a gain of 35 points. And those $35 per share, that's about $4 billion in Donald's pocket, plus it was already worth about a billion. So let's call this about $5, $6 billion, somewhere in that range. That's what Donald's got, sort of. Because in order to get it, he's going to have to sell. Now, if he says he's going to sell, the markets might freak out on him. Or with, you know, the big run that we've just had, the markets might handle it and allow Donald to get out. It might happen. Boy, would he like to get out. I know that. If anything, he's probably just scared not to do it. Although there's another possibility, and that is that he's bought his own snake oil, and he's going to just sit here and hold on, thinking that company of his is going to be great, when the truth is, he's probably going to be straight down the tubes again, and you'll be looking at that thing under 12. It happens. This market is far from certain. And yes, Michael says that moron, Elon Musk, is going to buy the company and merge it with X. Well, see, that's right. That's been the rumor all along, and that might be what's going to happen. And that's right. That would be the payoff to Donald. He wouldn't have to announce any kind of a donation or anything like that. Just hand Donald $5-6 billion and call it the day. If Donald is smart enough to take it, which I'm sure Elon Musk, who's not that stupid about markets, he should tell Donald, take the money and get out of here. Because Donald doesn't have anything except for that idiotic company, which loses money and has no revenue and is a worthless waste of time, except for Donald. It gives him a place to write all his things. I'm sure Musk will let him write on X. And of course, if the two merge, then Donald's company is gone anyway. And then Elon Musk can figure out what he's doing. And, you know, I have no great confidence in Elon Musk knowing what he's doing, but he knows a lot more than Donald. That I'm sure of. Okay, so with all of that in mind, let's do a little business. And then we'll come back and wrap this whole thing up. So first of all, we've got a great place for you to eat dinner. and that's Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and that's in Chesterfield Valley. And we know they've got wings, they've got smoked meat, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, pizza, really good pizza. They've got salads. They've got great drinks, which I love the iced tea. Their iced tea is the best I've ever had. And then on top of all of that, it's just a great environment to eat. It's just lots of fun people, lots of great things going on. Ben and his wife have created a terrific place to eat. And then on top of that, they opened up the Defiance location, which is at $29.99 South Highway 94. It's all the same great food, everything terrific. And they've got baby back ribs and they've got onion rings at both locations. Just my favorite. So that is Wendy's, and they're great. Now, if you're interested in jewelry, you go to 4506 Hampton. Jewels on Hampton. Al is the owner. He created this business, and, you know, he just does a great job. Really excellent job. They have just tons of jewelry, cases filled with it. And then on top of all of that, they do designing, and they'll help you with creating jewelry designs. They'll also buy and sell jewels and coins with you at fair prices. Al's just got a great business. And you can find him at 4506 Hampton, and you can buy everything you want when it comes to jewelry. And then on top of that, they'll fix your watch if it's broken. If it's not broken, relax. Okay, 4506 Hampton, that's Jewels on Hampton. And then there's the great St. Louis Suit Company. They've been there for 30 years. Now, you know, I come in here every day in my suit and tie. My tie for $5. Everybody says, really? Five? Is that possible? And it is. I mean, they're really nice silk ties. Really, just great designs. Of course, I can't always tell the color because I am colorblind, but people help me with it, and I end up wearing the right ties, mostly. And it's all St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton on the corner of Forsyth and Central. And on top of that, if you're getting married, they take care of all the wedding attire you could imagine. They've got a reputation, and it's a good one. They are a wonderful men's clothing company, and you'll love them. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Don't forget those overcoats, because my phone says, which keeps telling me this, and so I'm going to believe it now, but it says that the temperatures are going to crash on Thursday. That's the story, which is not even surprising, because I did mention earlier, maybe weeks ago, maybe even longer, that when you get to Halloween, the temperature plunges and it rains. It's a cold rain. So that's coming. And so your overcoat at the St. Louis Suit Company is a necessity. They've been there 30 years. They're terrific. And finally, if you go to Creve Coeur, you can have a great Italian meal. In fact, the best at Talena's. And Talena's, you know, you go to 141 and Olive. They're in the shopping center there next to the Dierbergs. And, you know, lots of parking and just great Italian food. Now, of course, I have my favorite there, too. The spaghetti and meatballs is unbeatable. Now, I was there on Friday. That's spaghetti and meatballs day for Showdown. But I wasn't looking for all that calorie. So I had a terrific Caesar salad, and I loved it. It was excellent. The food's all excellent at Talena's. You can't go wrong. And they've been there for 40 years. So, you know, these companies that have been there 30 and 40 years, they're not playing. Medi knows his business. Great Italian restaurant. That's Talena's. Okay. So back into the world of Donald J. Trump, the maniac. And by the way, speaking of that, of the maniac part, you know, Bezos, he really messed it up for himself. Back on Friday, I did the entire show talking about Bezos and caving into dictators. And I don't feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for the United States, though, because, you know, our media, contrary to what Donald has said forever, our media is so excellent. I mean, it's the greatest in the world. It's free. It's fair. It's got extremely high standards, which, of course, come from a number of the great schools that put out journalists in this country, which includes Mizzou, because many say that Mizzou is the best of the journalism schools in the United States. Some say it's Columbia, but it's one or the other. Mizzou is great, always has been, and they believe in standards. Unfortunately, Bezos forgot about standards and actually decided to run like a baby. And boy, did he run. He decided not to endorse Kamala Harris because he's afraid that Donald's going to win and he doesn't want Donald to put him in jail. Actually, as I've said, you should want to go to jail if Donald wins, because you got to stand up to that bully, because he's dangerous. But he's not going to win. He's not going to win. But Bezos didn't see it. And the markets, as you know, I've explained today, believe that Donald is on his way into the Oval Office again. But if they're going on that betting stuff, you know, they ought to take a look at the fact, as pointed out by many, that voting, or I say voting, the polls, or the betting, however you want to, I don't know how. Well, no, I do know how they determine. Wherever the bets land, that's where the odds are. And so the bets are all landing in favor of Donald. But a lot of people have already pointed out that those bets may well be coming from Donald's friends trying to pump it up and make everybody think that Donald is really doing great. So, you know, if you want to get sucked into that, again, as I've pointed out, this is basically the end of spring training. At the end of spring training, I mean, you can mouth off all you want, but pretty soon you got to start playing baseball. And so that's coming. Baseball is coming on the 5th. We're going to see the real game, not just talk. And when that happens, I think you're going to see a real problem for Donald Trump. And I think you're going to see enormous numbers for Kamala Harris. And then Donald will say that it's rigged. And then we'll go into the legal part of all of this. So we'll see. That's what I've said all along. And that's what I'm saying now. And we'll see where it lands. But we'll see in 8 days. Because it's over. Spring training is done. The real games are coming. And, you know, you can't, you can mouth off during spring training. But mouthing off doesn't work when the games start, because the records start to accumulate. And that's the votes. And they will accumulate. And, you know, one of the things that's helping us to see how terrific Kamala is doing is this tremendous outpouring of women everywhere, and certainly in Missouri. Now, I'm not saying he's going to win in Missouri, that you're, or that, I'm sorry, that Kamala is going to win in Missouri. No, I think Donald will win in Missouri. I think Missouri is too far gone at this point. But I do think that Ray Hartman could be dragged into Congress with the help of Kamala. And I think that would be really a shocking development. Certainly, even the Democratic Party didn't foresee this. And really, Ray has done a great job. And he's held himself out here. He's going to events everywhere. He's been on the air here like five different times in the last, you know, month and a half. And he's going to be back again prior to the election next week. And that would be big for us locally, having Kamala as president and Ray being our representative here. That would be very important for us. Of course, Wesley Bell will also be in that position. So we'll have two local congressmen. I know a lot of people are upset over what happened to Corey, but things happen, and you know, you can't go back now. That's where it is. So, you know, if Wesley Bell's in there, then we've got two Democrats in Congress, and that's important, especially, you know, you've got this Democratic president, Kamala Harris, and this could really affect our country in a very important way. I think it'll be inspiring. I think that the speech, the inaugural speech, I've said all along that inaugural speech in January by Kamala, I think in ways it could rival John Kennedy in 1960. And that's tough, because that Kennedy speech was phenomenal. But for Kamala, it's the right message at the right time in American history. And I think that, assuming I'm right and she walks into the White House, I think you're going to see a speech that is going to be emotional and inspiring. And I think it's going to turn the page on Donald Trump just in the best possible way. Michael writes up here, the new MAGA strategy is to light ballot drop boxes on fire. That's true. Even a postal drop box in Phoenix was set on fire, destroying about 20 ballots and damaging many more. Yeah, that's what this maniac is doing. He's doing a lot of things, but he's also running up against reality. And reality is coming on November 5th. And even the markets present him with a reality that I think will be very painful for him. Because, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the markets were pumped way up this morning along with that idiotic company of his. And then they went nowhere. And then a lot of things, you know, fell off toward the close, which is not unusual in this kind of environment. This is exactly the way it should play out. Maybe it's down tomorrow, and if it starts down, it's going to be a little problem short term. It may not be the biggest part of the downside, but it may get a little difficult, or it may hold on for another day or two and then cave in a little bit, ahead of the election, which... Look, news does not make a market, but news can accompany a market in a way that gets everybody thinking that the news is what made it occur. Anyway, we're going to watch this every day because it's developing in a very important way. And I think if you look at stocks like Apple, like Microsoft, like Amazon, they're in a little trouble. And if they get in a lot of trouble, this could be an interesting problem for the United States. Not so much for Kamala at this point, because, you know, with 8 days to go, they're not going to blame Kamala. They're not going to be able to, frankly. And Kamala's numbers in these polls, as I pointed out, this poll that came out this morning, it's an ABC poll, and it is showing that when it comes to categories, including economics, Kamala has developed some confidence among the voters. Maybe not unanimous, but a heck of a lot more than Joe Biden had, and a heck of a lot more than is necessary, probably, to win this election. So, you know, we'll see again. You know, we're going to watch it every day and, you know, talk about the markets and talk about the crazy things that Donald, you know, may be saying. But, you know, when it came to this weekend, he filled a stadium with hate. He did it. He did it very effectively. He created the fear that has, unfortunately, Bezos of the Washington Post hiding under his desk, probably in the fetal position. And a lot of people are not going to forget that. They're really not. He may have to sell that paper in the not-too-distant future because there are a lot of people quitting. They're quitting. They're dropping their subscriptions. And believe me, I'm not. I'm not going to drop my subscription. I'm not going to. I'm going to continue to read the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the Wall Street Journal and every paper that I can get my hands on because, you know, it's important to know what's happening out here because there's some important things happening. And if Kamala wins, it's not over then. And I'm not even talking about the Donald part. Donald's over. Donald's going to walk away. He's not going to win. And then he'll want to run in 2028. And if anybody goes for that, they got to be nuts. But, hey, if they want to throw away another election in 2028, let them. But in any event, Donald's got problems. And he knows it. Because he knows if he loses this election, the next step for him is jail. And I know people say, oh, come on, Kasin. The jail thing is over. No, it's not over. And, you know, if you think that's over, listen to the other things this guy's talking about, and we'll discuss it in the days ahead. But, for example, he says everyone will prosper. Everyone will thrive under Donald Trump. No, that's not true. That's not true under anybody. There are people who suffer. There are people who aren't as good as others. And that's why we need a country that provides, as we've called it, a safety net. But you call it a lot of different things. The truth is we need to help people who are struggling and can't help themselves. And trust me, even famous conservatives have agreed with that. And I may talk about that in the days ahead because there's some interesting conversations about that. But there's more because Donald will do anything to try to get people to vote for him. For example, he has told people now that he'll end the federal income tax. Well, sure. People hate paying taxes, but you know what? Donald's not going to end federal income taxes. As usual, Donald is a liar. What a surprise. The enemy within? Horrible. Listening to that junk, that Hitler talk. Hopefully the country will be tired of it soon. One thing we won't be tired of, we won't be tired of Wendy's, we won't be tired of the St. Louis Suit Company, we won't be tired of Jules on Hampton, and we won't be tired of Talena's, and you'll never be tired of Showdown. This is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.